I got the green light. Hey, good morning. It is good to be back. I was on vacation last week, as those of you that were here and inside realized. If you were outside in the parking lot, you probably heard a different voice come over the microphone. It's good to be back here. Today is a communion Sunday, so if you are in the parking lot and you have not gotten a communion cup, if you can give a couple taps on the horn, and I know that somebody will run those out to you. For those of you that are here, I want to do our call to worship. Our call to worship today is going to come from Psalm 98. Let's listen to these words from God's Word. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre. Sing with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let's worship God.
Thank you for this day. We thank you that you are with us. We thank you that you know us so intimately. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, who without him we wouldn't be able to access you. And we just give you praise for that. We give you praise for the Holy Spirit that indwells within us. And we give this time of worship to you, Lord. We pray that it would be pleasing to you. We lift this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can stand and sing if you'd like. Yeah. America the Beautiful, right? We're singing some good ones. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Majesties. Oh. tall guy at the microphone. Morning. Happy 4th of July, everyone. So, this morning's theme is about God chooses us to be his children. The scripture comes from Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. Okay. So, do you like sports? Raise your hand. Yay. What's your favorite sport? Just say it out. Skiing. Football. Baseball. Basketball.
Olympics.
Oh, that's right now coming on, yeah. Not everyone is, you know, really good at sports. So sometimes we've got, like, the people in the Olympics, they're really good at their sports. They're like the best in the world, traveling all over for this. So today I have a story to tell you about a boy named Thomas who was pretty bad at sports. Thomas looked up from his book as the teacher announced his class, "It's time for recess. We're going to go out and play softball. Jacob and Mary will be the team captains today." "Oh no," Thomas thought to himself. "If Jacob and Mary are choosing the teams, I'll probably be the last one chosen," he said to himself. As he stood there with all the other children on the playground, Thomas tried to pretend that it didn't bother him. When the other children were all chosen one by one, and he was left behind. But truth was, his feelings were really hurt. "I wish just once I could be the first person chosen," Thomas whispered to himself. I hope this hasn't ever happened to you, but the truth is, it happens to most of us at some point in our life. Surely there must be a better way to choose teams. Does anybody have any ideas? I have one. What if we just numbered off 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2? All the twos can be on one team, all the ones can be on another. That way, no one is chosen last. Our Bible lesson today is about being chosen into God's family. Would you like to be in God's family? The good news is the way Thomas' classmates chose the team. It's not how God chooses family. God chooses everyone who accepts Jesus into their life. The Bible tells us that before he made the world, God loved us and chose us. He already knew who would choose to accept Jesus. Anyone and everyone can be in God's family by placing their faith in Jesus. God welcomes and wants everyone. When we confess our sins and put our trust in Jesus, we become God's adopted children. He makes everything work out according to his plan for us. I am so glad that God has chose me to be a part of his family. How does it make you feel that God wants you to be a part of his family? Will you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for choosing us and sending your son so that we can be a part of your chosen family. We thank you that you spent time with John this week and he found some respite in this time. And the message he's about to deliver today, will you inspire us to something that you have for each of us here today that we can take out into the world and share with others? We pray this in your son's name. Amen.
I remember choosing up teams. I was seldom chose first. I do remember the first time I was ever chosen first. We were playing basketball. And little Jim Douglas, it helps if I turn on my lapel mic too. Jim Douglas, who was about this tall, was one of the captains, and he chose me first because I was tallest in the class, but I had no clue how to play basketball. And I said, what do you want me to do? And he says, all I want you to do is get the rebound. And I said, great, what's a rebound? And they all laughed. And I thought, good, they thought I was kidding. It was not a fun experience for me as the rest of the class during our game kept yelling at me to do what I didn't know what it was that I was supposed to be doing. Anyway, that's a whole aside, but I do appreciate the children's sermon today, and it's great to know that God has chosen us. With all our strengths, with all our weaknesses, God has chosen us, and God will glorify himself through us. So with that, let's get to our sermon. So today is the 4th of July, and on the 4th of July, we celebrate the birth of our country. And so I've been looking for text to be able to talk about that. And the passage that I've chosen for today, it displays a little bit of a contrast between the good side and the bad side of us, and I think of all of nations. And so as we celebrate our nation's heritage, we also need to remember that our commitment as Christians is to Christ in our world today. So our passage today is Galatians 6, verses 1 through 10. And Scott, I think I have control of this, so I'll just see what happens here. There we go. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason. And then his reason to boast will be in himself alone, and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let's pray. Holy Triune God, we have gathered here on a day that our country celebrates its birth to give you our worship. You alone are worthy of glory. You are the one who holds the nations of this world in the palm of your hand. God, we ask that you would open our hearts this morning to hear the message you have for us. The message you have for us to hear from your word. Bind distractions and wandering thoughts from us, and for this time, attune our hearts and our minds to your word. Speak, Lord. For your servants are listening. We pray this all to your glory. Amen. Today is the day that we celebrate the birth of our nation. A nation, like all others, that was created with perhaps the best of intentions, and yet has never been perfect. As one reads through the history of the United States of America, there is clearly much to celebrate, and there is much to cause us to mourn and recognize a need to repent as a nation. Our nation is, and as many have said, a great melting pot of cultures and beliefs, and it has endured for 245 years. At its inception, it seemed to have the best of intentions.
The founding fathers put it this way. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You may recognize those words from our Declaration of Independence. It's the beginning, towards the beginning. It's not the very beginning, but it's towards the beginning. And that document declared our independence from England. This new nation would become a great power in the world. The United States would become one of the most prosperous nations in the world, sending aid around the world, furthering science and technology, medicine, and defending the oppressed. Yet even in the midst of our celebrations, we can't forget the aspects of our history that are more painful. We cannot forget the treatment of those original citizens of this land, the Native Americans, and the damaging effects of which we can still observe today. We can't wipe out of our history the memory of slavery and the threat of racism that it wove into the fabric of our nation. We cannot forget the nationally sponsored racism of internment camps, more like prisons, imprisoning people based upon their ethnic heritage during World War II. And we cannot forget how our government, though through the centuries, has supported dictators around the world when it has served our purposes. We are a nation that at its best can boast of great highs, great successes, and great things that we have done, and at our worst, we must hang our head in shame of incredible lows. We're not as pure as we would often like to credit ourselves for being, but we're also not as bad as some would have us be. Our text from Galatians, Our text from Galatians, excuse me while I go back to our sermon. I apologize, it just popped off my screen. Our text from Galatians gives us great direction here. It begins with, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourselves, lest you too be tempted." Yes, we need to keep a watch on ourselves. Today there is much vitriol in our media about what we should be offended by. And it comes from both sides. How offended we should be over the times that things that 10 years from now only a few may even remember. Yet what about ourselves? Are we casting judgment quickly on others when unrepentant when it comes to our own sins? We have to consider that. Remember Matthew 7? It begins with, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." And then that beautiful visual in verse 3 of Matthew 7. "Why do you seek the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye?" I've shared on this many times. I just see it as a Keystone Cop picture where the person's glancing around with this log out of their eye and they're just bashing everybody on the head with it, but they're not noticing it and they're being nitpicky about what others are going through. We all need to be better whittlers, whittling on our own log before we go and point out another speck. Well, back to Galatians. We note in verses 4 and 5, "But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load." I like that idea of it not being in our neighbors. So often we want to compare and say, at least we're not like them, or I'm better than them. And when we, as soon as we say that, it's a negative because we're being arrogant, we're being boastful, we're being braggarts. But by testing our own work, we take the time to look honestly at ourselves as individuals, and we need to do this as a nation as well. Only by our self-examination will we ever make any change. If you talk to anybody that's gone through any program that has to do with addiction, They'll say that the first step is admitting that there's a problem. The first step to healing is recognizing pain. Pain is the beginning of healing. Paul goes on in verses 7 through 8. He says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." On this Independence Day, let us seek to sow the Spirit. Let us take an eternal perspective, not the perspective of the last 200 years, but eternity. What is God doing? What is God doing for us? And God continues to draw us towards himself. In the words of Paul, verses 9 through 10, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are in the household of faith." You know, this takes, this idea of doing good, it takes an undying commitment, a commitment that we must take on day by day to do the right thing, to do the good thing, to do the thing that God asks of us. And that requires a discipline and that unwavering commitment. Perhaps we might take on the words of the closing of our nation's Declaration of Independence. I don't know how many of you remember those words, but the words read this: "And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." You know, when it comes to following the Lord, we have to ask the question, have we pledged our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor? Those are such incredibly powerful words. And yet, unfortunately, for too many, we pledge these things only to ourselves. It's my life. It's my fortune. They've offended my honor. As Christians, do we pledge these things to the Lord? As Christians, we, as Paul said earlier in his letter to the Galatians, he said, we have been crucified with Christ. He says, I, but I'm putting it in the plural. He says, we have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. Think about that. Christ living in you, Christ shining through you. Is that our goal? A popular verse quoted often about repentance comes from 2 Chronicles 7:14. I've seen this posted a lot in social media and actually on a lot of church signs recently. "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." Today we are going to be celebrating communion. And I wanted our time together to really be focused on communion. Because our commitment, we live in a great country. I do not doubt that. I love our country. I am very proud of our country to be able to stand up here and freely speak of Christ. And I know that there are others around the world. I have friends. There are missionaries in countries where they're not allowed to even let the government know that they are missionaries, because the government doesn't allow missionaries in those countries. I won't tell you who they are, and I won't tell you where they are. But they're there, and Christ is being spread. As we are, we can be so negative on the internet. One of the things that the internet has done is allowed the gospel to get into places that it would not be allowed otherwise. Today, though, we are celebrating communion. And communion is to commune with our Lord. That is our primary allegiance. And so I wanted to take us through a litany of confession. And I apologize to those of you who are in the parking lot because this is going to be up on our screen. But you can still pray along with us. So I invite you to pray. Your part will be the part in bold. Here we go. If it shows up in bold, it doesn't show up in bold. Yours is the part that is not in italics. How's that? Almighty God, you alone are good and holy. Purify our lives and make us brave disciples. We do not ask you to keep us safe, but to keep us loyal, so that we may serve Jesus Christ, who tempted in every way as we are, was faithful to you. Amen. From a lack of reverence for truth and beauty, from a calculating or sentimental mind, from going along with mean and ugly things, O God, deliver us. From cowardice that dares not face truth, laziness content with half-truth, or arrogance that thinks we know it all, O God, deliver us. From artificial life and worship, from all that is hollow or insincere, O God, deliver us. From trite ideals and cheap pleasures, from mistaking hard vulgarity for humor, O God, deliver us. From being dull, pompous, or rude, from putting down our neighbors, O God, deliver us. From cynicism about others, intolerance, or cruel indifference, O God, deliver us. From being satisfied with things as they are in the church or in the world, from failing to share your indignation about injustice, O God, deliver us. From selfishness, self-indulgence, or self-pity, O God, deliver us. From token concern for the poor, for lonely or loveless people, from confusing faith with good feeling or love with wanting to be loved, O God, deliver us. For everything in us that may hide your light, O God, light of life, forgive us. Let's go to communion.
Oh,
There we go. As we come to the table, it is appropriate for us to affirm our faith. And so I want to invite you to stand and join us in affirming our faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. As I invite you to the table, if you are in the parking lot and maybe arrived after I made this announcement, we are celebrating communion today. So if you have not received the elements for communion, if you could give a tap on your horn. Sounds like everybody's got it. We're glad. So this table that we come to, it is not the Presbyterian table. It is not the Mission Woods table, although it is located here. It is the Lord's table. And all are invited who profess a faith in Jesus Christ, which we just did, who eagerly seek to be Jesus' disciple, who seek to follow him in their lives. That is who we are as a church. And so you are all invited to come. Doesn't matter what else is going on in your life. If you are choosing at this moment to follow Jesus Christ, you are invited to this table. On the night in which Jesus was to be betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the meal, he took the cup. And he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant poured out for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink of it, do so in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until his return." There's a great promise there. Jesus will return. And when Jesus comes back, we will all be held account. But Jesus died for our sins. That's not an excuse for us to go out and sin. As Paul wrote, "What should I do then? Should I go on sinning that grace may abound?" And he says, "By no means." No. We seek to follow Christ, but we're free knowing that when we make mistakes, not intentions, mistakes, we can confess those, and God will forgive them. And God also forgives our intentions when we intentionally do the wrong, because Jesus died for our sins. I want to pray over the elements, and then we will celebrate communion together. Let's pray. Holy God, you remind us so often to remember what you've done in the past, to remember we were created in your image, to remember that because we chose to go our own way, that there was separation created, to remember that you chose the Israelites to be your people, to remember that you led them out of slavery to be your people, that you led them through the waters, and we think of our baptism, to remember all that you did for Israel, and remember that they were still caught up in their sin, but then you promised a Savior, and you sent our Lord Jesus, and he came, he demonstrated a life, what it would be like to live in full relationship with you. And he died for us,
for our sins, and we remember that. And more than that, we remember that he rose again, and as he died and rose again, we too one day will die in our sin. But we have the promise of resurrection. Because of his resurrection, we too will experience a resurrection like his and be able to live eternally with you. So God, we ask now that you would take these elements, this bread that represents Jesus' body broken for us, and this juice that represents his blood poured out for us for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, we ask that you would set it aside for your divine purpose. We ask that the elements that we are holding in these little plastic containers, Lord, that you would bless it. And as we partake of it, Lord, that it would remind us, not only in our mind, but all of our senses, as we taste it, as we smell it, as we eat it, Lord, that you are sovereign. And we ask that the bread and juice, as it fills us, that as it goes to each cell as part of the nourishment in our body, that we would remember that you nourish us with eternal life. We ask this in Jesus' holy name, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to take the bread in that top cellophane. Christ's body has been broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of him. In the same way, I invite you to open the cup and remember that Christ's blood has been shed for you. Let's pray. God, we thank you. The gift of eternal life given through your Son, Jesus. We thank you for this bread, this small little wafer, and this little cup of juice, and all that it represents. God, we pray, as we have committed to being your disciples, Lord, lead us. Lead us. We are thankful to be in a great nation, but we also know that we have much to repent of. So as we as individuals repent of our wrongs, Lord, we pray that we might lead and shine your glory to a nation, that it too may do the same. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As we are in this still kind of this COVID era, I'm going to invite our worship team to come up as we receive our offering. I invite you to do whatever you're doing for offering, if you're pulling out your checkbooks or your wallets, whatever it is, but we're going to have our offering right in the back there. We're using our baptismal font with an offering plate in it, which seems very appropriate. So we invite you to put your offerings there on your way out the door.
As we come to the prayers of the people, I want to, first of all, I want to point you to, in your bulletin, we have our praise and thanksgiving section. Most of you know that that's there. But I also want to say that I'm really proud of this congregation. Many of you know that Daryl is in the hospital and Joyce is not able to drive, but people have been doing meals and helping Joyce get to the hospital. I've been up to visit Daryl a couple times, and I'm very proud of the way that we care for one another. And I just want to encourage you to continue to do that. Before I go to prayer, I'd like to ask if there's any other prayer requests or updates that we might have. We haven't been able to do this because we've been in cars. So I haven't done this since we've been in the building. So does anybody have anything that they would like to raise as a prayer request before we start? Yes. And what's, Corey? Thank you. We will pray for Corey. Rayona.
My sister-in-law, Linda, is sick this weekend. And I just pray that she'll feel better. Tomorrow's my brother's birthday. I invited him to lunch, and she must be sick enough that he doesn't feel comfortable to leave her.
Thank you, Rihanna. Anyone else? Elizabeth.
I just want to give thanks to all of you that have been so kind and praying for my husband. His recovery from foot cancer is doing really well. And I give you all and the Lord credit for that.
And is he doing better?
Yes.
We give praise for that. Thanks, Elizabeth. We'd love to see our prayers answered. Scott.
I just want to keep the Morrison family in our prayers.
Morrison, thank you. I missed the name. Anyone else? Yes, Janice.
I didn't know if Bob Kearney is in the hospital.
Yes. Yeah, we'll be praying for him. Anyone else? Okay, let's go to God in prayer. Holy and sovereign God, it is truly a wonder that we, sinful as we are, as temper-ridden as we are, as selfish as we are, as unholy as we are invited into your very presence. We are made holy through your Son, Jesus Christ. We are made righteous by your work, not by ours. And so, God, we are glad to be here. We're always glad to be able to give you praise, and sometimes we're more eager to turn our request to you than we are to remember to praise you. So God, we want to praise you. We want to praise you for Bob, who is doing so much better, that his foot is healing. I thank you that Elizabeth is able to be with us here today. God, we pray that you would just continue to heal and give him strength and help him get back to everything that he was doing before. And it is a wonder, Lord, the fact that our bodies heal. So God, we give you praise for that. We give you praise for Haven. We praise you that she has begun talking and is gaining strength following extensive heart surgery and all those infections that she had afterwards. God, we continue to pray for healing for her. God, I lift up to you Daryl, who is at St. Francis, and we pray for the wisdom of the medical staff on how to proceed. I know that they've been considering surgery, and now it looks like they may not have to do it, and I know Daryl would prefer not to have surgery. Lord, I give you thanks, one, for his attitude, that he has full confidence in you. He knows what you want is what will happen. But that doesn't always give comfort to family. So God, I pray for Joyce and I pray for Anne and for Alan, their son as well, as Daryl is battling this cancer. We lift up to you Bob as he's in the hospital after falling twice and being extremely weak. Lord, we're thankful that he was finally able to get a hospital room. And I just pray for he and Carolyn that you would be with them. And I pray that the doctors would be able to figure out the correct treatment for him. We lift up to you Wilma, who has moved on to Wolf Point, Montana, to be in a rest home there. And God, we pray that you would be with her, be with family that is still here. Help them understand the best way to stay in touch with her. We pray for Patty. Continue to pray for her as her kidneys are shutting down. We pray for peace and God's presence with her. Lift up to you Jan, who's been in the hospital and now home, Lord, from she was in with vertigo, but we pray for continued healing for her. For Jerry, Lord, we pray that as he's had this immuno disease, Lord, we ask that you would relieve him of that, relieve her of that, Lord. She's in the hospital for plasma transfers, and we ask that that would be effective. We continue to pray for Barb, and are thankful that her recent test showed that what's going on is benign, and we pray that as she finds a second opinion, Lord, we pray that she would get sound medical advice, and that she would just know your presence. We pray for Corey, who's been diagnosed with breast cancer. We pray for effective treatments for her. We pray for healing. For Linda, we pray for her as she's sick right now, and Raylan would really like to take her brother out for his birthday. And just with the celebrations going on, all the fireworks going off and stuff, it's not a fun time to be sick. And so we pray that you would be with her, Lord, and we ask for healing. And Lord, we continue to lift up to you the Morrison family. And as they are still mourning the death of a son, Lord, we pray that you would be with them. Watch over them, God. Hold them in your loving arms. We pray for our leadership here in this church. We pray for our session and our deacons. We pray for our nominating committee, and we pray for those in our church that may be considering being an elder or deacon. God, we praise that you would raise up the right people and the right number of people for what you would have us do. God, give our nominating committee discernment. May they hold a high standard for leadership, Lord. And God, I pray that it would all be bathed in prayer as they make their decisions. Lord, we are thankful that you have called us as your people. We are thankful that you have called us to be a prayerful people. And as I was sharing with Daryl the other day as we were talking, we are just amazed at the way you continue to answer our prayers here at Mission Woods. That you've been so faithful to continue to answer our prayers. And so we want to pray, and we want to pray as you've taught us. And we do so saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We have a few announcements to share with you. One is my understanding, thank you, that we have a nominating committee meeting today. Is that still correct? Yes, I'm seeing nods. Thank you, Natalie. If you are thinking about being an elder or a deacon, if you could please let our Natalie know. And this slide didn't change when I changed it there. I've got a slide change error. Okay, it bumped me off. There we go. If you're thinking about Natalie's here, Daryl's not. We've been praying for him. He's in the hospital. Our midweek Bible study is taking a break this for the rest of the summer. So we encourage you to study your Bible on your own. If you need helps on that, please let me know. I'd love to pass along things for you. And we do have a session meeting next week at 11:30, and we're going to do that in person. So we're going to do that here. Remember that we do have a called congregation meeting for deacons, for the election of deacons and elders, and that will be Sunday, July 25th. So that's 3 weeks from today. Also, in your bulletin is this flyer, Dismantling the Doctrine of Discovery. And I want to encourage you to consider being a part of this. This takes place not this coming Saturday, but the following Saturday. It's going to be in the afternoon. It's a workshop. It is via Zoom, so you can do this from home. It's not something you have to participate in. But I want to encourage you to be a part of it. I'm going to try and be a part of it. It starts at 2, so I'm hopefully going to be home from my other job at that time. But it's being brought to you by the Anti-Racism Task Force of the Olympia Presbytery. It's a 2-hour workshop, so it's a 2-hour commitment. They'll probably take a little bit of a break right in the middle. But we've got Indigenous people that are a part of our presbytery, and so it's going to be led. It's an informative workshop in partnership with Indigenous peoples, and so Native American, I can't think of the name of the congregation, I'm blanking on, but anyway, they're going to be sharing some things, and this is just a good informative seminar if you'd like to be a part of it. If you want more, there's some papers that you can download, some prior reading that might help you be more a part of the discussion. And if you're interested in going to this, please email either the church at Mission Woods, or excuse me, at info@missionwoodschurch.org, or you can email me or Ruth, and we'll be happy to help you do that and help you get those papers, because there's a lot of documents there that you see a list of that's on the sheet.
It's on the back of the bulletin.
Oh, the email's on the back of the bulletin. Thank you very much. Thank you. I should know these things, but I've been on vacation, so my head may not totally be here. Anyway, it is good to be back with you. And so as we have gathered, let's sing our parting hymn as we are sent on our way.
You're welcome to stand if you'd like.
Abundantly, above and beyond all we ask or even imagine, to him be all glory, honor, and praise, both now and forever. Go in peace.
Amen.
I'm gonna go out like Elijah. Oh,